Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Diener Jr., Jim Ossarski, we are here. We are back. We're in the room.
Yeah.
We in the booth. Yeah. We're next to the booth.
We're next to the booth.
We're not using the booth today.
No.
We're sitting next to the podcast booth because we're comfortable with our equipment that we have, and we're not ready to jump forward into the booth. And it looks a little tight in there.
It is a little tight.
It's tight inside of the podcast, but don't worry. Sooner or later, we'll hop in the podcast booth, and it makes you want to have a rap battle.
It does.
When you have a booth big enough for really only two people, and you got the mics hanging there,
Rap City.
Rap City
is what thing that first popped into my head when I saw the booth, Paul. I'm not lying. It was the first thing, Big Tigger, and you know that was like the best. I mean, we can get off on a tangent in the first 30 seconds, but I figure it's better than asking about a mock draft. So I figure I'll talk about, you know, the fire that we used to see on Rap City back in the day.
You used to. Well, I will say I'm glad to be sitting here next to the booth with you in person after we've been traveling all over the place for a few weeks. You were, of course, at the Senior Bowl. I spent last week in Houston at the Super Bowl. Both of us gathering information. Yeah. Investigative, you. This was an interesting week, and obviously, you know, the game, the Super Bowl was incredible, an unbelievable comeback. And but we should be sitting here talking about how the Falcons built a championship.
Yeah.
Except somebody, really, you really can't even blame one person. Like there are to have a calamity like that. You got a whole lot of people standing in the firing line with a whole bunch of stuff on their shoes.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a whole lot of people. Dan Quinn, Kyle Shanahan, Devontae Freeman, Matt Ryan. I mean, it's hard to hate on the defense that was stuck on the field for 99 plays.
Right. Hey, did Vic Beasley play?
He did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He did play.
I was just checking.
Although, you can't blame Falcons' pass rush. Pass rush was all over Brady.
No, I'm just wondering if he played.
He did play.
Okay. Play. You know what? And you know who was waiting for him? Crying Jordan, Steph Curry, Terry Francona. They're like, come on, guys.
Come on.
Great jokes of 2016-17. Come on.
Dude, you don't want
plenty of room.
No lead is safe in a championship these days. I mean, because Warriors 3-1 lead, Indians 3-1 lead. That Falcons lead was about, that was like 3-0 and up five runs in the ninth. Yeah. I mean, no lead is safe in a championship anymore. You got to put it away any way you can.
It's one thing, you know, it's funny, Paul, because I think what the playoffs, what the Super Bowl does on occasion, playoffs, not so much, I think, because it's usually better football in general, better coaching at times. But, you know, in your hole, in your, like, local provincial hole, you watch your team. And it's always like, oh, these calls, oh, time management, oh, what is the OC doing? And it's one of those things, well, you know this, you and I watch a lot of other teams play football, and that's what happens.
That's what
OCs, happens. Like what Kyle Shanahan did late, I disagree with, but you know what? Plenty of other coaches this year have had leads, chucked the ball on third and one, and done all kinds of things that, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, teams all around the league, fan bases all around the league. So, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I ended up writing after the Super Bowl was about how Kyle Shanahan was the dream assistant this year.
Yeah.
you can't have a better year than Kyle Shanahan had until the last quarter, half quarter of it. I mean, it would have gone down as one of the best. He gets the head coaching job, wins the ring, right. Turns Matt Ryan from good to championship. Did everything right until he made a couple of bad calls at the end. And now, GOAT!
Right.
GOAT!
Right.
Not worth it. He stinks. That's what happens. It's a hard gig, man. Because at the end of the day, if Devontae Freeman makes a block or, you know, they get a 5-yard out completed instead of a sack, you know, on 2nd and 11 or they, you know, any of that happens, you're not even talking about Kyle Shanahan and it's over.
Yeah. It is over.
He made the mistake of putting the ball in the hands of his MVP quarterback right. when he had a huge lead. Now, he made the wrong decision, and it came back to bite him, and the Falcons as a whole screwed it up. But if that's what you do wrong, I understand where Kyle Shanahan is coming from. If what I did wrong was put the ball in the hands of the number one offense in football and the MVP quarterback who's made every decision, didn't throw an interception all playoffs.
Yeah.
There's four. I saw this say there was four quarterbacks who threw for at least 750 yards and no interceptions in a playoff run. He's one of them. All the rest of them didn't lose a game. They all won the title. Yeah. And he didn't.
So I'm guessing none of them fumbled inside their own 30 either.
That didn't help.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, and kind of where I was going with that little rant there before about fan bases, because you do hear about Marvin Lewis and Ken Zampezi and, you know, what is Ken doing and why is Marvin so conservative sometimes? Here's the thing. Dan Quinn watched this. I mean, he was in the same boat. He watched Bevel call a pass from the one.
Yeah.
And not hand it to Marshawn Lynch. He watched Pete Carroll say, hey, that's Russell Wilson. That's the guy. I'm going to trust my OC. I'm going to trust my quarterback. And he had a front row seat for that.
Dan Quinn.
And that's one of those things, Paul, where like the head coach hears the play. You're right. He's giving it to his MVP, going to throw it to his $100 million receiver, whatever. You're right. I can see why you're like, yeah, I'm going to roll with that. But on the other hand, just 2 years ago.
Matt Bryant went to the Pro Bowl. He was, I believe I saw, I looked it up, 28 of 29 from inside 50 this year.
Yeah.
That's a good percentage.
Yeah.
It would have been a 40-yard field goal if you take a knee.
Whew. Yeah.
And it's over. It's champagne time. If you're up 11 with three left and they had to burn their timeouts. Brady or no, it's at least onside kick time.
Yeah.
This is the only hope because they wouldn't be able to stop the clock.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That's
to me.
Tough.
You can't
fight that. And I don't know. You know, he's like, we wanted to stay aggressive, get closer. We were on the fringe. You weren't on the fringe of anything. It was a 40-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what happened. That's a lot of time to talk about Super Bowl, but that was pretty remarkable. You know,
well, you mentioned the OCs, though, and like how difficult that job is. I mean, you can even rewind it back now 2 years of when Hugh Jackson walked out the door. You better believe he looked at Nomo Sanu and no Marvin Jones and maybe some issues at the O-line or whatever. That's why he left. Because, look, if Hugh Jackson sticks around and they do what they did this year, he's not a head coaching candidate right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where if you're the OC, kind of like what you wrote, it's Kyle Shanahan had the job and it was great they went to the Super Bowl. But I think in general, it's a very hard – you can go from hero to zero.
In a minute. That's why you're an OC and you get a job opportunity, you take it.
Right.
That's why Hugh Jackson's coaching the Browns right now.
And Kyle Shanahan's in San Francisco.
Oh. Both of them not feeling super great.
No. Put it this way, they might be coordinating the offenses again real soon.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Super Bowl week is much more about what happens during the week than it is about the game from a Bengals perspective
right.
and from an individual team perspective. So I want to go through some of the stuff that developed during the week. The biggest being
First of all, the Bengals have the two. They have to have the most low maintenance superstar combo ever.
Right.
I mean, so you know, to give you paint a picture, Radio Row is this massive monstrosity of people that are all set up, TV, radio, you name it. I mean, there are so many stations there, and you know, Sirius has like a whole wing, and you know, NFL Networks, CBS has a whole area. It's just huge. And so these players come in and they go through, or anybody, Hall of Famers, you name it. They come in, they go through, they go from place to place. They get to knock out a bunch of interviews, always usually promoting something. And when they come through, they've got entourages, they've got handlers.
Yeah.
You want to get Heisman in a hurry, try to approach one of those guys and watch the handlers just
right.
Take you out.
Be kept.
Dude, seriously. It's like that. I mean, it is ridiculous. And they come in, they're wearing suits. They're, you know, sunglass inside guy is prevalent.
Yeah.
You know, which I just can't stand. It's not bright in here. So anyway, during all that, in comes AJ Green. Shorts, T-shirt, couple of people who are super nice with him. Just help him because he needs somebody to tell him where he's supposed to go. It's like a girl from Snickers and like one other person.
Yeah.
Super nice. Says hello. I'll get you this time. Like lines it up to talk with us. I mean, the jealous looks and conversations from other beat writers were just like, I cannot. They kept saying, I can't get over Green and Dalton. Like how accessible, easygoing, chill, all of those things compared to the rest of the league. I mean, you can't have two more humble superstars. And it was apparent. But that said, so when AJ finally does talk, an interesting thing sort of happened, and it was it's just different from him. You saw it, and I'll play it here for you in a second. It's just different than what we have seen out of AJ Green.
Yeah.
He was more vocal, more willing to state his opinion on team affairs.
Right.
The same way, going back to the offensive line thing from midseason, He sounded like a guy who has a whole lot of ownership over the prime year, feels a whole lot of ownership over the prime years of his career and of this team, and wasn't afraid to say it.
Yeah, no, that was the first thing you write in season about the O-line getting Andy hit. But here's the funny thing. So I'll go back to our last Beyond the Stripes with Marvin Lewis. And even his kind of season-ending press conference where he said he called out A.J. Green and Geno Atkins being more vocal leaders. And I remember on BTS I said, and I sort of looped in the idea like being more vocal in the media. Marvin's like, no, it's not really me.
No.
But Marvin sends messages through the media and – frankly, players do too. And AJ, I think, from the not just the O-line thing, but his insistence about playing and not being cowardly and giving up at the end of the year with that whole hamstring situation.
Right.
I mean, throw that into this too. And now it's sort of this next level audio, which I think is that you got in Houston, I think is great.
Yeah. Well, let's bring that in. So here is AJ Green. It ended up being myself and Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com were there, and AJ took about 5-7 minutes to talk to us on a number of different topics. So here's AJ Green in Houston at the Super Bowl.
What do you I mean, you and Julio go way back. What's right. it like? What's it like to see him in a Super Bowl?
It's good, man. You know, Julio and I are just similar personalities. We just want to play football, and man, the postseason he's tearing it up. And well, Mo, I'm so happy for Mo because he worked his butt off. And he's getting his opportunity that he rightfully deserves.
Yeah, you had to. Have you talked to Mo or shoot a text or anything?
Talk to Mo. We all in a group text. Me, Mo, Marv, Hawk, and Andy. And we talk all the time. So
yeah. So I'm sure you guys.
Yeah, we talk all the time.
So your rooting interest is pretty clear in this one, I guess.
Yeah, I think Atlanta's gonna win. I don't want Atlanta to win because I live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I don't want everybody to tell me rising up. I play for the Bengals.
Right.
I think. They got a weapons, and the way Matt Ryan's playing is unbelievable.
Do they remind you of anybody? Do they remind you of anybody?
Yeah, you said it, Hawks. You had me thinking about it.
Yeah.
They reminded us like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, they even had the two 15, running backs.
Right.
The 15 team, you mean?
The 15 team.
Somebody sent me like a breakdown of, oh, this is Ryan and Dalton.
Right.
And so this is, so Dalton, so don't wait on Dalton. I said, wait a minute, Dalton had that year last year.
He had right. that year and then the thumb cut off from doing what?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. People don't understand how Matt Ryan, took Matt Ryan a while to get where he is right now. So we just got to give him time, man. We guys give us time, I think we'll be fine.
Is it frustrating when you realize that? When you're like, damn, we had that team.
When we lost to the Steelers, that had been the worst loss I ever experienced in my life. Just the feeling was just like, it was over. Because I felt like that team right there was the team.
So, how do you get it back together, I guess, is the question. Because you still have a lot of the pieces.
Right. It took us a while to get that team. It took us to everybody to start gelling. So.
Yeah,
it's gonna take us a while to get back there.
Yeah, when they drafted Julio, they had just come off they traded up to get him. They had just come off. They were the number one seed.
Right.
And they got knocked off. So it took them kind of 6 years to get back up to get here.
Right. So this game is crazy, man. You never know when it's your year. You start gelling the way Atlanta did. It's unbelievable. Or you can be like Dallas and gel the whole season and have one slip up and you're home. So it's all about timing, man, and whoever gets hot.
Yeah.
Atlanta was hot this whole year, so.
Yeah.
Like you guys were in 15.
Right. We were hot. We were winning all the close games and all that. So.
How hard is it for you to see it? To see Julio get the shot?
It's tough, man, but you know, it's the game. There's nothing I can do. He's on a great team. That's a great organization.
How was the, you said the hammy, you said you haven't done anything yet, huh?
No, yeah, but I don't feel anything. It takes 12 weeks or whatever it takes to completely heal, and I feel fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you kind of look at, I mean, you were just talking about it a little bit, but when you look at Andy and you look at Matt and Julio, I mean, it feels like that's the hardest part to get to create that offense is to have the number one receiver and number one quarterback, so you got to feel like building the rest of the pieces, it shouldn't be, not that it's not hard to do, but it shouldn't be that hard to do once you got those two.
Right. Like I said, we got to make the right moves. You know, Atlanta went there, I got Mo, got a couple other guys, so we need to make some moves, put some guys in pieces, and we always draft well, so we're fine there. But I think if we get some more pieces on the defense side of the ball, and I think we'll be fine.
What do you think you need?
Get that 2014 defense back.
Right.
So.
What do you think you need the pieces?
Man, I think we just need a little bit of everything. I feel like if we get a good pass rusher, go with Mike and Carlos, it'll be fine.
Yeah. What about another receiver?
That'd be nice, too.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, but I just hope we bring Joe back. And, you know, Tyler came into his own late in the season. And we got CeCe. So if we get another piece, we'll be fine.
What do you make? I mean, I know you talked mid-season about the struggles you guys were having on the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kevin's up. Andrew's up. Did you, as a receiver, do you kind of look at that and get nervous watching what's going to happen with line? I mean, no, Andy does, but I guess you do, too.
It's tough, man, because Witt is playing out of his mind, and we need that guy back. That's one guy we can't lose is Witt, because he brings so much more to the table than just his playing, and just his leadership and the way he carries himself. And I hope we bring him back.
You talk about the 14 defense, the 15 offense.
What?
Just trying to bring everything together.
If we had that defense and that, we would have been fine.
Yeah. What do you think about Julio? I know I asked Keenan Tillman, I said, who's better, AJ or Julio? And he said, you got a coin? And he flipped it. And he flipped it. And it came up Julio. But
okay, quick.
Yeah, who's. Do you ever wonder who's better, or you guys just give it, you think?
We just play our game. Man. We don't worry about who's better.
It's amazing how long people have been debating that.
Since we were in high school.
Since you were in high school? Probably since you both were freshmen, I would imagine. Right. When you guys were both five stars at the top of the class.
Right. He was number two, and I was number two, number one receiver coming out.
Yeah.
You'd probably like to see him win it, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Have you talked to him lately?
No, I ain't talked to him since last year in the Pro Bowl. So he's like a real low-key like me. So we see each other. We just act like we saw each other yesterday. So
let's unpack this for a second. The most interesting thing to me is calling out, we need Witt back. We need a pass rusher to help out Michael and Carlos. If we're going to be like the Falcons on offense, we need to do what they did and go get some guys in free agency. He might be barking up the wrong tree with that one.
Right.
But I get where he's coming from, where when he's asked, well, how do you guys do what Atlanta's right. done? He's going to say, do what Atlanta did.
Yeah, right.
Go get Mo Sanu and go get Alex Mack. You know, fix it. Find your what are your two biggest problems and go get them, whatever that is for you.
Right.
I mean, for them, it would be probably some sort of, you know, speed receiver on the outside and probably some right. help on the O-line. I don't think it's going to happen. But it is interesting. I just think that
it's interesting pressure.
Yeah.
Like when I say pressure, obviously not meaning real pressure, but just the thought of your the face of your franchise, you know, putting his hand down, you know, and on a shoulder, if you will, hey, do something here.
Yeah.
Outside of what you normally do, which is sign your own free agents. Because on one hand, someone could argue, you know what? The guard is a $10 million position. Kevin Zeitler, 5 years, $50 million. I mean, while that would be a huge splash, just in news in general, I don't really think that's what AJ has in mind. I think he means someone else.
Yeah.
Some other player that can bring something to the team that's new, different, and better.
Because even if you bring back, let's say their splash is re-signing their own guys, that wasn't good enough.
Right.
And I think that's his point.
Yeah.
Is these guys that we've had, we're not good enough.
Yeah.
And we can't sit here and bank on Tyler Boyd becoming great next, which he needs to take a step, and that's all fine and good, but that ain't going to change life
right.
for what this offense was. AJ Green being healthy for a year is great. Tyler Eifert being healthy for a year is great, but they need to recreate the depth they had before that
right.
where they could easily survive that type of thing. Last year, they couldn't afford to lose either of those right. guys, much less both.
Right.
And that was the problem. And that's what we said at the beginning of the year, was they'd never had a situation where they could really not afford to lose for a second A.J. Green or Tyler Eifert. And that's saying a right. lot, particularly when we're talking about 85.
Right. Yeah, no, and it's interesting, Paul. I mean, we wrote about this a few weeks ago, personnel moves the Bengals should do. You know, we're going to take a look at some pressing free agent questions. You know, once we get to the combine and the run-up, that's where, kind of where teams unofficially, because you can't, no tampering, Paul.
Don't
talk.
You even though you're a tamper, you need to do it legally.
Yeah. That doesn't happen in the bars in Indianapolis at all. No one talks about free agency, you know.
Or even in the hallways of the convention center.
You know,
I mean, it's right. like, I see an agent see and a coach. Is anybody recording that conversation
right.
so we know for sure they're not talking?
Tampering?
I'm sure they're not talking about agent. I'm sure they're not talking about players.
Right.
Of course.
So, but you're right. There are ways to do it. I don't disagree with the Bengals' general methodology. I think they just need to, instead of going for guys who are 30, 31, 33, that there's guys you can get who are 27.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of that can fit. And I guess that's what AJ's saying. So we'll see. I mean, Mike Brown, look, no one's telling Mike Brown what to do. So, mm-mm. but it is, I think it is a, it makes me excited for 2017 because if AJ is going to start it this way, I'm curious to see where he takes it from a vocal perspective as the year goes on.
Yeah, I just think he's, this guy in the past, though, and granted, that was also before his contract.
Yeah.
You know. He was not going to put out there his feelings on directions the organization should go, in front office things the front office should do. But he feels him and Andy, this is our team, and it is. They're the highest paid guys. They're the centerpiece of this team. If this team's going to win a Super Bowl or make any kind of run, they are going to be the ones at 1 and 1A leading the charge.
Right.
So yeah, he's got the right to say all those things.
Do you think he'll get Geno to help? Do you think he can get Geno to make some
proclamations? It's the sole reason that I want the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl is to put Geno on a podium on Media Day.
Fantastic.
He probably would.
Wow, the world.
He probably would be incredible.
Yeah, he would.
Because he would be forced to do it, and I think when he would talk, I think he'd be great. It would be hilarious.
Yeah, it would.
But I'd love to see it. Also, so we also caught up with Andy Dalton, who's wearing his Katy High School hat and a hoodie, and
yeah.
You know, again, like I just you cannot. I mean, Antonio Brown was in a tux, a white tux, with an entourage that I couldn't even see him. Hilarious.
Yeah.
And here, you know, and here comes, you know, the quarterback. It's just
$100 million.
$100 million. Whatever. Go Katy.
Yeah.
Katy High School. Making the round. So caught up with Andy as well at one point. It is truncated. I'm gonna play it for you. It's truncated. It's in two parts. We had to cut off midway through. He had to step over and do an interview with Houston Radio in the middle of it. So it's in two parts, so I got to cut in the middle there. But anyway, it's Andy Dalton talking about all this stuff and, you know, kind of some of the similar things that AJ had to say, and a little bit of stuff about a lot of comparisons between him and Matt Ryan. So anyway, here's Andy Dalton for the Super Bowl.
Ryan's a guy, not much different than you, you know? I mean, some kind of quarterback, isn't he? Ryan, you watch him much?
Yeah, you know, he's had a lot of really good years, and this year I think he's really taken off, and the guys around him are playing at a high level, and he's got a lot of talent, and so, but, you know, he's definitely leading that charge, you know, getting those guys, a lot of guys involved. You know, it hasn't just been Julio. Obviously, Julio has all the big plays and the guy that everybody talks about, but I mean, there's other guys that are playing at a high level for him too, and obviously Mo's done a great job, and you can see all the confidence that he's playing with right now.
You never want to bring up old stuff or anything, but do you kind of look at what Atlanta has done this year and look at what you guys were doing in 15 and think, boy, it sure looks similar? I mean, you can't think like that, but you kind of see that, the similarities a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I felt like, you know, 15 was such a good year for us, and, you know, just with all the guys that we had and the way that they were playing, you know, it's unfortunate that it had to end the way it did, and with getting hurt and being injured, and so, but yeah, I think, you know, they're playing at a high level, and, you know, they're playing some of the best football that they've been playing, and this is the right time to do that.
I mean, they're made up like you guys were with the two backs, the three receivers.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, they've got guys that you know, both those backs are matchup problems in a run game and pass game, and you know, the other guys have been playing at a high level too. So yeah, I mean, they're a fun offense and fun team to watch.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, you know, any thoughts on Sunday? Do you have a rooting interest? Are you just on Mo's team pretty much?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, okay, if I go from the friend standpoint, I've got, you know, a guy I played college with, Marcus Cannon. He's the right tackle for the Patriots. And then, you know, I have Mo. It's like, well, Marcus, he already has his ring. Yeah. Mo does. It's hard to find an interest in it. But I just hope it's a good game.
Yeah. Do you guys, I remember we were talking about, that seems like the Falcons are, maybe they set sort of, I don't know if you see it this way, like a blueprint for how to help quarterbacks have their career years like Matt has. I mean, you look his yards, you know, yards per attempt or whatever stat you want to look at, it all was good, maybe great.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like championship level in 1 year. Do you feel like they sort of did maybe set a little bit of a blueprint for how to help quarterbacks take that next step a little bit?
Or? Yeah, I think, like I said, they've got a ton of talent there and a lot of guys around them that are playing really well. And so I think it's kind of part of it. I mean, obviously the quarterback can't do it by himself. The other guys have to make plays too. But Matt has done such a good job of putting guys in position and giving them opportunities to make those plays. And I think that's why, you know, he's been playing the way he has.
He could make the argument you had your career year last year. I mean, 15.
I mean, can you go back and keep talking about 15? Obviously,
can you get
like,
back to? Can you? Okay, here's the question: can you get back to 15?
For sure.
With what you've got here.
Yeah. All right. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you.
Definitely. I think that's one thing. Just in 15, we had Marvin and Mo, who had been in the offense for they were going on their fourth year, right. And this year it was different. We had AJ, then we had some new pieces, and right. So not taking away anything from those guys, but the experience of having a guy that's in year four in the same offense compared to a guy that's in his first year in an offense is there's a difference. And right, so do I think we can get back there? Absolutely. I feel like we've got talent. We've got guys that have the ability, and now it's just getting everybody up to speed and up to where we want them. And you know, I think the sky's the limit. We have the potential out there.
What do you need? What do you need?
What do we need?
Thank you for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see you. Thanks. All right.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your help.
I mean, it's hard to say. We need to get some of our guys back. I think that's one thing that would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we can get some of the guys that are free this year back with us and just kind of continue what we've had and the continuity with everything.
AJ kind of said that, you know, people talk about, you want to talk about building that, all the weapons on the 15. He's like, it took a couple years to get to that, and it takes a couple of years to get back to that. You kind of feel like that it's just part of the process of getting all.
You look at Marvin and Mo and what they did their rookie year compared to the last year that they were. I mean, it's a huge difference in just the how comfortable they are and with what we're doing. And so, I mean, it takes a little time.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody can just plug a guy in and it's just going to, you know. There's not like we had another AJ Green out there, you know, it's where you just plug him in and he's always gonna have the production.
Yeah.
Not taking away anything from our guys, but you know, AJ's a special talent, and so I think that's just kind of part of it is these guys are gonna get better over time, and you just gotta try to speed it up as much as you can.
Do you really look forward to year two for Zamp as well? I mean, it's just like anybody, you know, him getting into that role for a year after a year of going into the lab and figuring out how to attack it better.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one thing for him is first time calling plays, and so I think for him having an off season to be able to kind of look back at what we did and just for us to talk about you know, areas that we feel like we did good and areas that we feel like we could do better and different things. I think it's a big year for him just because it's his first time, you know, having that off season of okay, now I'm the play caller, and what can we do different? How can we get the most out of our offense?
Do you expect it to be better than last year?
I definitely do. I think we have to be to get where we want to be, and so I expect to get better, and I think everybody feels that way.
When you're talking about needing getting you guys back, I guess Witt and Burkett, huh?
Yeah, I think those are two big pieces, and so and we'll see what happens with the draft and how many picks that we get, and so. I think we definitely need Witt back, a guy that's been a leader on this team for a long time, and obviously I'd love to have Rex back too. We can get as many of our guys back as we can.
So I want to talk a little bit about the Dalton Matt Ryan thing.
Yeah,
we kind of teased it a little bit last week. I ended up going through writing the full story, which if you haven't seen it, it's obviously still up online and was in Sunday's paper as the game day main feature. And how many, you know, parallels can you draw between Matt Ryan and Andy Dalton? You know, you look at their first 6 years, they're very similar. I mean, you know, Dalton actually has him in yards per attempt, 7.3, 7.1. Very similar touchdown percentages, interception percentages. You know, they're very much the same guy. Really hit hard in the media and in the city.
Yeah, similar playoff struggles.
For playoff struggles.
Yeah,
I mean, Matt Ryan was 1-4 in the playoffs and looked bad a lot of times.
Yeah, with some really good teams. That 2010 team that lost got boat raced by the Packers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you can see a lot of the same things, and all of a sudden, a coordinator and a lot of pieces falling into your lap. And you can have one of those years like Matt Ryan just had where you win the MVP and you are just – I mean, it's one of the best seasons by a quarterback we have ever seen in this league if you just look at
the
raw numbers of it. I mean, the important stats, interception percentage, yards per attempt, total points, all that stuff. I mean, that he was incredible. And my contention the whole time is Andy Dalton already did it once. So anybody that's saying that he can't do it, Matt Ryan's doing exactly what Andy Dalton did in 2015 until thumb happened.
Yeah.
So anybody who's saying, well, you can't do what the Falcons did with Andy Dalton, they've already done what the Falcons did with Andy Dalton. I think they're very similar quarterbacks, and I think any of these guys, if you've got Rodgers, if you've got Brady, I'll throw Roethlisberger in there because he's led teams to Super Bowls. You know, there's like 4-5 serious upper tier, no matter what's going on around them, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Those guys. If you don't have those guys, so pretty much the entire league,
yeah,
you got to find the other ways. And I think what the Falcons did this year was in really the Bengals in 15, as far as offensively, showed you put the right pieces around these good, maybe great, not championship quarterbacks, and they can have a championship year just as good as those other guys. You need a lot of things to go your way, but it's right. The blueprint's there, and I think that's an encouraging thing for the Bengals is to know that the blueprint is there.
Yeah, and I think what's important as you spin it forward is that in the coaching staff's eyes, and frankly my eyes too, I think you'd agree with this that Andy Dalton built off that in 15. You know, there were some better parts to his game. He still had that 4-game stretch where he struggled, but frankly, that's a lot of quarterbacks have games like that or stretches like that even. And so
the Falcons fell apart midseason this year.
So I think you're right in that sense, and I think that's kind of going back to bring it back to even what AJ Green said. You know, the reason it worked in 15 wasn't so much that, you know, they added pieces, it was that Marvin Jones stayed healthy and blossomed into the guy they thought when they drafted him. Mosenu had a good year. You know, he built off of, you know, filling a role and became kind of that third down guy and had the same numbers this year as Tyler Boyd did, but he was that missing piece for Atlanta as the Taylor Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way. And, you know, so I think you're right, Paul. I think that's to loop it all together there is Andy Dalton is in that next tier of not Hall of Fame, but every other team who doesn't have him wants him.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have those other 4 or 5 you talked about. And what does that mean? That means you need more than just, you know, 18 and 85.
Right. And or you need a great defense. Like one of the NFL's best defenses you've seen.
Right.
Seattle.
Right. Which we talked about even like when Joe Flacco got hot.
Mm-hmm.
In his Super Bowl year, his 11 touchdowns to no picks, that playoff run. And now, granted, that Baltimore defense wasn't like their 0-2 unit, but it was really, really good.
It was still really good.
And Andy's proven he can get hot. He even proved that this year with guys who, you know, weren't as fantastic as 15. Yeah. So,
yeah, the thing is they've still got to get him more weapons. I mean, they've got it.
Yeah, it's either one or the other, right? Either the defense becomes number one from week one.
Well, and going both ways is great, too. I mean, people underestimate how good that Atlanta defense was. I mean, they got gassed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they got better as the year went on.
They were really good.
Young, fast guys.
And I think everybody would have been talking about how well they played in shutting down Tom Brady if they didn't have to play 99 plays.
Right.
And just get exhausted because the offense couldn't hold the ball for more than a couple of snaps or whatever. So anyway, there's a lot of different ways that you can build the team, and certainly, but just speaking from an offensive perspective, I think you get encouragement from what you saw Atlanta do, what you still know Andy Dalton has been, and you can point to the fact that his numbers took a tick back last year because he had a whole lot of things against it, but he still put up pretty darn good numbers.
Yeah.
You know, DVOA, he was a top 10 quarterback still last year. He was number 2 in DVOA in 2015. You know, that's saying something. To be top 10 this year when you had a right tackle who couldn't block and a whole lot of other trouble on the line and nothing, rookie receivers and either Tyler Eifert or A.J. Green, but not really both.
Right.
That is a stronger year than people will give him credit for. So I think there's encouragement there. And I think you can look at what Atlanta did this year and should have won a championship. And you can see the path. I mean, I'm not going to go Doc style here and start saying the Bengals will be in the Super Bowl next year. I mean, let's get real. Win a playoff game. This team needs to win a playoff game before anybody starts talking about how they're going to be in the Super Bowl. I mean, come on. They still got to prove that.
Yeah.
At the very least. Certainly their coach and quarterback does.
Yeah.
But, which he did. I mean, can you believe that? Our columnist getting out here, throwing it out. Yeah. Bengals will be in the Super Bowl next year? I feel like we need to get Doc another hobby. I think he's just writing things just to entertain himself with reaction at this point.
Yeah, it's that was early.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really have much to add to that. I mean, I was the guy who first year in, now I thought I was going to look really good 2 seasons ago saying that they were going to win that playoff game in 2015. That's probably about as far as I can go in a preseason to say,
yeah.
You know.
it was bold.
Yeah. But no, I think, in terms of, you mentioned adding guys and top 10 quarterback play. Well, that to me, Paul, kind of is an interesting segue into the backup quarterback situation and maybe using number 5 as a trade piece and moving up potentially.
Yeah.
In the 20 in this draft to maybe land a either higher pick in round 1 or moving up in round 2 and maybe doing it the other way in terms of adding plate difference making playmakers.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an opportunity to do that. We've talked and written about that a little bit. The one interesting thing that's happened now is so AJ McCarron, a lot of people were wondering, and I think some people were assuming, we weren't, that he was going to be a free agent after this next year, and that's just not the case. It is official, as we reported, that he is going to be a restricted free agent in 2018. So yeah. The Bengals technically, I mean, they would get compensated if they lost him. So they pretty much have him for 2 more years.
Yeah.
So they'll have him this season, and they have to put a tender on him where they would pay either, the numbers vary, it's somewhere around 3 or so million, four
yeah.
million for a first round tender, like 2 something for a second, or then you can have, then it's a tender lower is
just like right of first refusal and
exactly.
Just to recap because people love, I mean, that's a great thing about the internet, salary cap websites like overthecap.com, spotrec.com. I mean, kind of had him listed as a 2017 unrestricted free agent, but he did not accrue. You need 6 games of being on the active roster, or it's interesting wording in the CBA, Paul, where it says, or paid like you would have been on the active roster for mm-hmm. 6 games. So he only accrued 3. Now, he was paid more. He got some split money. As far as we could tell, that doesn't quite equate 6 games. So, yeah, he will be an unrestricted. So, real quick, that's just sort of why if you were going online, you saw those sites, there's a discrepancy because for as good as they are, they're just reference points. They don't have access to actual contracts.
Yes.
So it's their best guess. And really why it kind of bubbled up, it was basically a lot of it's that time of year. People are going through the class of 14 for fifth-year options being picked up. Sadarquez Denard, for instance, or playtime guys like Russell Bodine, who are hitting certain playtime percentages like Russell has the last few years where he gets a huge bump in pay.
Yeah.
Because he has played so many snaps despite being a low-round pick. So that's sort of why, if you're wondering why this has all kind of come up of late, is because it's that time of year.
Yeah, these things get negotiated,
right.
Essentially. And so you got to figure out where all that falls. So, but this is a fascinating development. And like I said, it's one that I honestly had thought was going to happen the entire time. I remember a couple years ago talking about the thing is that you got to remember is that there's an extra year on this. assuming that it ends up falling that way, because when he had that redshirt year, and what happens now is his value skyrockets for team, from the team's perspective. For the Bengals, let's work through a couple of options here. Let's say you now hold on to him. You get him as that insurance policy as a backup quarterback now throughout the year. Then you can place a first-round tender on him. And if someone really wants a quarterback, if someone wants A.J. McCarron to be their quarterback, they would have to be willing to give up a first-round pick to do so. Or if you feel like you'd be comfortable taking it too, put the second-round tender on him. Someone would probably be willing to pay to have to feel like they had a quarterback. He's not going to, you know.
And that'd be like $2 million.
Yeah, it's by QB money, right. it is absolute nothing. You'd be getting a great deal just to have the best backup quarterback in the league at that price. Now, another team would not be paying that price. That's the Bengals' price. So to me, this increases the chance dramatically that the Bengals don't trade him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because that is a spicy little option of just dropping the proper tender on him after this year. And so you can possibly hang on to him on the cheap in 18 or get a top pick. Assure yourself you either get the full realm of McCarron or get a 2 or a 1 for sure. So a team would really have to blow you away this offseason probably in order to trade him.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, Paul, because I don't know yet. We'll get a better feel for this as we get through the end of February, I think, and March, especially once teams in need of a quarterback really dive into this draft class and you kind of get a better idea of Garoppolo. But last year, the Bengals weren't going to have a conversation with you if you didn't bring a 1 to the table. That is what happened. Nobody called with a 1. So there was no conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I know Bengals color analyst Dave Lapham, you know, had said that the team was offered other picks. That may well be true, but again, that was a non-starter.
And Marvin Lewis told us nobody called.
Right.
Now he would tell us a lot of things.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying.
I think what Marvin meant with that, in my opinion, is that nobody called with the 1.
Hmm.
Now it's possible nobody called altogether, truth by omission, maybe.
Yeah.
But regardless, whatever. And why is that? Because a team would have got A.J. McCarron for 2016, 2017, and control in 2018. Three years.
That's a ton of value at the quarterback position.
So now, okay, 1 year. Now does the one fewer year, does that change the Bengals' value of A.J. McCarron? Probably not. It probably doesn't change the way the league sees him. Because if you could have got him for 3 years with a 1, why would you give up a 1 for 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, Paul, to see if the team changes their asking price in a way. Like, it, especially now with 11 draft picks, you don't really need 1 for this year. So I'm curious. It's like, can they package him and help it move up in this 2017 draft? Or do they look ahead to 2018 and say, hey, we'll take a 2 in 2018 with maybe some provisions, snap provisions, or if you give them a contract, it's a 1, kind of like the Bradford situation in Minnesota. So it gives both parties, if you will, like a lot of leverage and negotiating wiggle room. I don't know. I guess I can't go so far as to say they wouldn't deal them.
And remember, a market could be set when and if a Jimmy Garoppolo trade happens.
And who he goes to.
Right. If the Browns give up a first-round pick or they give up a 2 and a 3, I think it sets the market for A.J. McCarron being worth something in that realm with a little behind that, maybe. And maybe that's something that everybody would be comfortable playing. Or if he fetches a 1. I mean, what outside of being under Tom Brady, and Garoppolo looked great in those few games that the Patriots played. Congratulations.
Yeah.
A.J. McCarron almost won the Bengals a playoff game.
Right.
Should have. So what's the value of that compared to, and I'm not saying that A.J. McCarron is great, but please, A.J. McCarron, guy, calm down.
Yeah.
I'm saying there. I'm saying if you're talking about how he compares to Garoppolo, I don't see how a team wouldn't be like, you know, this is another pretty good option that's out there.
Yeah, I think Bradford's an unfair comparison in a lot of ways because he had a lot of NFL wins under his belt, not playoff wins, but he's won games. And by the way, the Eagles paid nearly all of his huge salary, so like there was a trade off there.
Yeah,
you know. So you're right, Paul. Maybe Garoppolo's a hot name. He is a little more athletic. If he only gets a two, and the Patriots are willing to do that, I mean, no one's going to give the Bengals a one. So then maybe that helps recalibrate the market and changes things. And
the whole thing is really fascinating at this point. Like,
and the Bengals have all. I mean, I do think outside teams have a little leverage because it's not like. I mean, the Bengals still don't want to lose him for nothing down the line,
right?
With, you know, so there's still that sort of hanging out there in a couple years, but
you know, with the RFA, I don't think they would.
Someone would roll in for that number two. If he doesn't play another snap again for two full seasons, someone still give him a two off 2 year old tape, and now he's 27 years old. That's why I think it's still, you know, the Bengals don't want to totally overplay their hand.
Yeah.
With that, you know, maybe they tried to do that last year. It was like, it's got to be a one. We're not talking. And now, you know.
Yeah. And how much do they really feel, you know, it is interesting. It's chess. I mean, there's a lot of pieces out there you got to be aware of. What else do we have here? Are you mad?
Dude, I'm always mad.
Do you have anything?
Look,
that's making you mad,
you
today.
You know what makes me mad? And it is about Radio Row, because I consume a lot of sports talk radio, like an abnormal, bad amount. And you mentioned AJ Green's handlers, and that's great. I know what the deal is, but look, the idea of talking to, these are my favorite. This even goes back years ago. Like Joe Montana would come on whatever radio, Chicago, Milwaukee market, Cincinnati market, and he talks about whatever. And then let me get in the 90 seconds about, you know, my orthopedic insert.
Right.
I'm going to really talk to you about these shoulder pads or this headband I wear.
Yeah.
It's weird. And part of it's because I'm strange and I'm odd and I listen to I just consume so much radio, Paul. But, like, it's just that whole thing. Like, I almost couldn't function on, like, I normally do. It says a lot about me as a person that I need to, like, listen to sports talk radio all day long. But
it,
like,
does.
It,
I'm
it,
concerned.
It drives me crazy. Like, I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't know. It was so strange. It was so, like, people who have no relation to Cincinnati or the market I'm in and I'm listening to. You know, that's why you got to come to BBP. You hear AJ Green and Andy Dalton.
Not promoting
stuff. I don't need to hear from, like, some 65-year-old dude who played in Kansas City.
Right. I'm sure he's nice.
And I'm sure the product, God love them, dude. Get your money.
Yeah. It's not their
Get
fault.
Get paid.
It's not their fault.
No. It just,
I get it. I don't know if you saw it, Dan Lebatard's show ran a scroll that just had all the Super Bowl guests that they declined because they didn't want people who were just on for the Super Bowl promoting stuff.
It's a weird week, and I get it. And, you know, again.
Oh, it's weird.
Get yours. If you're the athlete, get your money. If you're the radio host, you got to fill airtime. Whoever sent you there, do your job. It's great for all of you. But this week, it just, like, ground everything down for me because I am really, really strange.
I just, you know, I saw George Iloka at one point, and he's from Houston. And so I was kind of talking with him, and I was like, are you promoting anything? He's like, nah. No, I just wanted to come down, hometown, figured I'd check it out, do a few things just since it was here, just to see it once. And I'm never coming back again.
Right.
You know, he kind of, without saying it, he was sort of telling me, you know, there's this, I just feel like a hater if you come here and you're not playing in the game. It's like, what are you doing? You're here promoting yourself when your team's not in it, and it's doesn't. It feels selfish a little bit, I think, in some players' eyes. I think they view it. They view it that way. Now, it's if you're a megastar.
Yeah.
If you're AJ Green, you know. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snickers. No, Snickers. You want to drop that coin on me so I'm gonna juggle some Snickers here on Radio Row. He flew from – he went into Houston. He was working with Snickers. So Snickers pays him to do all these interviews or whatever. Right. He was pretty good from what I heard of not being, like, overly Snickery.
Yeah.
Like, but – so Snickers pays him, and he, you know, he juggles Snickers pretty much whenever. Like, they had a whole booth set up, and he would go and do that. And then he flew on Sunday from Houston to L.A., and was in L.A. for, like, a little while just to go do a 15-minute – they were doing a Snickers live stream. It was a 15-minute thing of just AJ juggling Snickers for 15 minutes.
Wow.
So they paid him all of this to do Radio Row, then flying him to L.A. to do and putting leaving him there for 15 minutes, and then back to Houston, and then back to Cincinnati. Hey, live that life, son. You know what I mean? If you got that pull, live that life. Like I say, it's no hate on them, but it's crazy, the schedules and all the time and effort and all that goes in for a lot of these guys, especially if you're a big-time type of guy like Green and a lot of the big stars that run through there.
Yeah, no, I don't want to hear about it, though.
He's pretty good at juggling Snickers. I give it to him. So that's all it's made. I'm saying, you know, that's you're pretty calm this week. That's not too bad. Why do you listen to so much talk radio?
I don't know, man. Then I get in fights with local radio hosts about the quarterback.
Are you like calling up? Are you like you're like AJ McCarron guy, just in another market? You're like calling into other
markets.
Dude,
I blasted local radio fill-in hosts this week. He texted me. I'm like, I'm coming on and calling you stupid.
Who are you talking about? You talking about my boy Hot Take James?
Yeah. It's like twice now.
You came on?
Yeah.
I did not hear this story. What happened?
James is driving me crazy with how the Bengals need to draft a first-round quarterback. And
quarterback?
Yeah.
With a Q?
Yeah. And here's the thing.
We need to have him on the BVP. Get him in the booth.
Put him in the booth.
Put him in the booth.
Put him in the booth.
Get in the booth,
James. It's one of those things. It's funny, Paul, because the way it comes across is like I'm Andy Dalton's like cheerleader, and that's but because he's so the other way of like the Bengals quarterback situation is awful, and it needs to be fixed immediately, either with number 5 or someone else, undetermined.
So what, like who they should take, Deshaun Watson?
I didn't even look. I saw he's tweeting some stuff, and I was just like, dude, here are facts.
Yes.
And that's why it comes – I don't feel bad doing it because I'm like, here are numbers, and here are actual production, and here's, like, the reality of NFL football. And it drives me crazy. So I blasted him on Twitter.
I don't care. I give him credit, though.
He called and had me on. So, you know, I'll give him that.
Outside of you are the number one pick, and Andrew Luck is there this year. Outside of that, you are rolling the dice with any quarterback you take. Period.
Yeah.
End of discussion. Especially this year. If you're really making that argument this year, let's just say that you want to have Rodgers or Brady or whoever, insert guy here. You are crazy if you think, first of all, you'd be bringing that guy, and that guy is expecting to play if you draft him at number 9. If you draft Deshaun Watson at 9 or Kaiser, whoever you're getting, he's going to come in and want to play. You are blowing up your entire team dynamic. Yeah.
It was just so.
Hot
maybe that's
James.
What makes me mad.
That
James makes me mad on a regular basis. We'll have him on the BBP.
Yeah,
we'll put him in the booth so I don't throw him out the window.
We will. Me and you will go up to 700, and we'll sit down with Mo and Hot Take James. It'll be like an intervention.
Yeah.
That's what we'll have to do.
Yeah.
We'll get that one done here sooner rather than later. All right, so we'll be back next week. We're running up to Combine's coming up at the end of February. It's just kind of a dead period.
Yeah.
It is one of the few. There will be some stuff that's, you know, we'll be keeping an eye on, but for the most part, pretty slow. But we'll be sticking with you. We'll have plans. We'll make sure you keep coming back, checking out the BVP. We'll be back next week with plenty to talk about. Look for Jim's story on AJ McCarron. My 10 observations from the Super Bowl is up. Make sure you check that out. What else do we got coming?
Yeah, you know, there's some just little odds and ends. You know, and again, this might come even after the combine, but, you know, I think the McCarron thing's worth watching. I did catch up with him in Mobile, caught up with Wallace Gilberry. You know, so there's some stuff that's kind of matriculating down the field.
And
so,
Adam Jones is still hanging out there.
Adam Jones.
So we'll see where that goes. You know, I think that investigation by the NFL is ongoing. And so the league is investigating. The county is watching and waiting for the league to do their investigating. I hope you caught that story from our news guy, Kevin Grasha, last week about the lack of precedence, stuff that we had been talking about here on the BBP a little bit, the lack of precedence of what Joe Dieters did in dealing with this Adam Jones case. So if you didn't get a chance, check that out. That was on Cincinnati.com last week. All right, so we need a song. Get out of here. Do you have anything from the old Rap City days that, like you want to break out or, like, some sort of free since we're here? Hanging out in the booth.
I think you can go with any of those. There's some great best of compilations, Lil Wayne, Kanye West, back in the day. But you know, it was funny though when you. So I could roll with any kind of freestyle, but you did mention Sunglasses Indoors Guy.
Oh,
so of course my brain immediately went to Corey Hart Sunglasses at Night.
Yes,
but if we go in this, I mean, we're not in the booth, but the booth is pitch black dark.
It is dark in there. Why is there
no light? There's no light in there.
Why is there no light?
What? That's perfect for James. Is definitely going in there.
Yeah, we just stick him in the darkness.
So
berate him.
So I will. Those were my thoughts. Like I said, I'm a Wheezy fan, especially back then, young Wheezy. And then there's Young Yeezy on the best of Rap City in the booth, but or Corey.
They're both.
I don't know those that, but you know, those all kind of popped in my mind. All
right, that's good. So here's what I like where your head's at. Sunglasses at Night feels like it belongs. Don't do it. Don't do it.
No.
Don't wear sunglasses indoors.
No.
It's just not a good look.
No.
Unless it's really bright. Unless everyone's squinting because it's like those awful like halogen lights.
Right.
Like the crackhead top lights, you know what I mean? All right. On that note, let's get out of here. Come back next week for an extra edition of the BBP. Happy to bring it to you. Hot take, James. We're going to find you in the booth. Till then, Corey Hart, have a good one. My security.
the best.